What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 19th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Oh, Stride and Prejudice. This is a roundup title that I've had cooking around for a long time with Justin Paradis. And boy, did Spencer Strider look the part in the graphic today. Justin killed it, but Spencer Strider did not. 3 innings, 7 earned runs, 10 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. And keep in mind, last 2 games, 8 earned runs and 5 earned runs. Oh boy. Are we ready to drop him? Yeah, you might want to. Look, this is the doom and gloom that we've been talking about all year with Spencer Strider. It's his fastball. It is not the same pitch. It is dropped in height-adjusted VAA to make it less flat. We've seen it drop 2 ticks in vert. We've seen it also drop a tick in velocity, if not a little bit more. And that means that this number one PLV pitch of 550 that it was in 2023, keep in mind, 550 is a number one PLV pitch this year, that's Drew Rasmussen, is now under 5. That's pretty much average. And innately, that's not terrible. But the fact is, Spencer Strider is just not Spencer Strider without that. And his slider has been good, but it's not always there to save him. It does have a 25% swing strike rate this year, but he had to turn to it a little bit more yesterday because of four-seamer isn't putting away as many batters. And guess what? It allowed a ton of hits against the White Sox. It was actually 3 innings that were fine. It was solo shots and everything was looking okay, but then he allowed 6 straight base runners to kick off the 4th inning, and that was it. He was donezo. So, that's Spencer Strider. He gets the Phillies next and the Mariners and not in the T. And then it's Houston who might be susceptible to the slider from Strider. But I honestly feel like a lot of you, I've answered questions here with 10 teamers and even some 12s. Yeah, you can move on from Strider. I'm not kidding around. Like, don't have this idea of name value that you, oh, I can't do that. He has a 27% swing strikeout rate. Well, he had 2 games combining for 24 strikeouts that really elevate that whole thing. And that was against the Rockies and it was Rocky Road and against the Athletics. It was 13 and 11 strikeouts. And yeah, only 40%, that is 60% of his strikeouts, 60% of his games have come with 6 strikeouts or fewer. This is Spencer Strider, a guy who's supposed to go like 7 strikeouts at least every game, right? That's what you're dealing with right now. And yeah, I think it might be time, guys. Jack Flaherty against the Astros, 7 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts. He had a King Cole, 39% CSW, because the Astros were like, you know what? Let's just take these 4-seamers for 36% called strikes. And it's because Flaherty was dancing with the slider and the curve right outside the zone. Neither of them had like a 35% zone rate. We're talking like 28% between the two breaking balls. Phenomenal. And this is the Jack Flaherty that we've seen. He had some of the worst luck in that last start against the White Sox. If you didn't watch that video, go watch that. It is hilarious. It's called the unluckiest inning I've ever seen. And it's me breaking down Jack Flaherty against the White Sox. But yeah, he didn't have bad luck here. But bam, there you go. You have Robbie Ray, 6.2 innings of 0 earned runs, got the win, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. You have 16 whiffs in a co-share of the gallows pole with Paul Skeens. This was amazing command from Robbie Ray. 4-seamers right at the top of the zone. Changeups were down. Sliders were down. Curveballs were in between. It was glorious. This is exactly the kind of Robbie Ray we want to see. 63% strike rate. Ooh, beautiful. Freddy Peralta might deserve aces gonna ace. I'll be honest with you. After his next start, if he's dominating against the Giants, then fine. 6 innings, 0 earned runs, 1 hit, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. Against the Cubs in the first game of this doubleheader that then the second one got postponed to, and we'll have a doubleheader today. Yes, Tiny, you gotta wait one more day. I'm so sorry for you. He has a 15-5 record, Freddy Peralta, and which is kind of surprising to me because he's only had 1 game this entire season above 6 innings, and that was 8 innings on April 2nd. That was his second start of the year. He hasn't had a 6.1 or a 7-inning game since then. Just kind of wild. And that's really a reason why I have not given him that ace is going to ace tag yet, because he's not the most efficient. He's not the one that grinds away for 7 innings and really just blows out the opponents so much, but it's just been very good. And 15-5 record. My gosh, the Brewers, the best record in baseball. I can't believe it. Gavin Williams against the Diamondbacks got the win, 5.1 innings of 0 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. Only 7 whiffs and 22% CSW, but threw 99 pitches. He got that win. 97 on the four seamer was generally upstairs the lefties. He was back at 7 feet of extension, 97. And the vert was like right under 15, but that's fine. That's fine. As long as he has that extension, that's good. And generally flat, which is fine. The curveball was good and bad. That is, yeah, it was chaotic at times, but then when he executed it, it was great. The cutter was, oh my gosh, 24% non-competitive rate. A quarter of them were just auto balls. Not fun. But yeah, the four-seamer is still good, and that curveball was enough as a number two. So fine. He's tiptoeing between cherry bomb and hipster, as I wrote in the roundup. That's Gavin Williams. I think you just got to keep rolling. Trevor Rogers, by the way, is just unstoppable. He got the win in Fenway. 7 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. 92, 93 mile per hour velocity. But he is leaning a little bit more on the sinker that is about 19 inches of run. And that's cool. It's making it harder to hit these two fastballs inside the zone. Oh, and then you have the breaking balls going 7 over 24 whiffs combined. Beautiful. I mean, it's good pitch separation. A lot of things are low. That's really cool, Trevor Rogers. I'm astounded, and I really hope it sticks. Brady Singer had a good game against the Angels. He had a phenomenal one last time. The command was as good as I've ever seen from him. And it wasn't quite as good here, but 6 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. We'll take that all day. It's a Bailey special, really, with that win. He threw more four-seamers than sinkers to right-handers, which is very strange. However, he threw these four-seamers way upstairs. And they were really just to change eye level with the slider, and to also try and put away some guys. Well, then the sinker, of course, it was then turned to be like, all right, cool, I'm going to jam this guy inside. With the slider and the sweeper being the main foundation against right-handers, as it should be, because those are devastating pitches to the right-handed lineup of the Angels. And he gets the Dodgers next. I don't think Brady Singer is too good that you should be starting him without concern. But then the Cardinals after that's good. So you'll see Brady Singer at the bottom of a questionable start for that one. For the Dodgers, and then could be even probable start for the Cardinals. That just seemed like a good matchup. Maybe the very top of questionable. We'll see. Eury Pérez against the Cardinals. 4.1 innings, a 1 earned run. And 2 hits, 4 walks, and 6 Ks. He had a rough 5th inning, and he got pulled in this one. 4 walks is really annoying. The changeup was not as good as it was last time. Only 7th thrown. He's still trying to make it work. I just want him to really get into that 55 to 60% consistently strike rate pitch that he can throw 10 to 15 times a game or so. That would just be great. And the breakers are just not doing well. The curve is not there. The slider isn't there. The sweeper was good against righties. And the four-seamer is still great for Eury Pérez, but he needs more support, and it's why he had those 4 walks. And we just keep starting the man because we know that there's going to be something that really shines in this arsenal. We've seen it before. It'll come out again. Cade Horton was removed from his game in the 3rd inning. 2.2 innings of 1 earned run. 4 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks due to a blister. No, I think he's going to miss at least 1 start. He should go on the IL. Find the Cubs. Blisters are nothing to hand wave. You have to take them seriously. And if the Cubs are making this playoff push, they need Cade Horton. So, especially come playoff time, I would do everything in my power to ensure that he is healthy for that and does not have this blister reoccurring, which would mean that he would go on the IL. At the very least, he should miss 1 game, but maybe it's not as serious and all that kind of stuff. We'll see. I'm expecting that. And if it means that you have to hold on to Horton where he's day-to-day and you don't know, just move on. He's not so good that it's worth wasting a roster spot for 10 days or something along those lines, okay? Ranger Suarez against the Mariners got the win. 6.2 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 10 strikeouts. Oh my gosh. Yeah, remember the whole thing about like second half Ranger Suarez? It's last year was really due to injury, and he does go up and down across the season, but honestly, right now he's up and you just keep going, right? It's not a guarantee that he's just going to implode in the second half. So it's amazing command, and it's how it's working out. You just don't question it, and you keep going. Dustin May against the Orioles, 6 innings of 200 runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks with 9 whiffs, 100 pitches. Is this the same guy that we saw last time where it felt like it was a new pitcher? Not really. He wasn't at 95, 96. He was at 94, 95. The cutter was thrown more, which is encouraging. 14 of them thrown here, so 14% usage. And that is good, but it did feel like really sweeper city with some four seamers and sinkers, and that's not really the Dustin May that we want, right? It wasn't the incredible command, the nice sequencing. I'm not as encouraged as I was in his last start against the Astros. And he gets the Yankees next. I'm not here for that. But then he would get the Pirates and then the Guardians. At least for the Pirates, I would circle. Yeah, Paul Skeens ace is going to ace 16 whiffs. I'm really happy to report that he went six innings. That's great. 96 pitches. Cool. Thank you so much for letting us get more Paul Skeens Pirates instead of limiting him just to five innings or 70, 75 pitches. Michael Wacha was the Tobias of Tobies. Again, got the win. 5.2 innings, 200 runs. But it's 9 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. An out away from a poor quality start. Yep, he is a Toby. As I wrote in the roundup, he wears the brownest of brown suits. Because he's a Toby. Kevin Gausman against the Pirates. Went 5 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. He's a hipster to me. Why? Because it's just... he got double-digit splitters. He got double-digit... Sorry, splitter whiffs. Double-digit four-seamer called strikes. And it was boring. You know, he didn't get a win. 5 innings, 200 runs. Okay, 3.6 ERA. 1.4 whip, which hurts. 4 strikeouts. Is that... How do you feel? You know? I just don't know what we're going to get with Gausman every single time, and it really bothers me. All right, we have Kyle Freeland, and that's a Colorado starter. Who cares? But Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Zach Gallen, Yoendris Gomez, who I really need to go into a little bit with you guys, because there is actually something there, and we'll talk about all of those and more after this break. Yoshinobu Yamamoto went into Coors, and there was a good discussion inside of our Pitchers Discord about should we be leaning into this or not, because it is Coors. That's a tough matchup. And Yamamoto isn't just so amazing that he's immune to it, but yeah, 7 innings, 300 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. We'll take that. We wish there was a win involved. We wish maybe one fewer earned run, but solid enough. And for those who are unaware of our Discord, it is for subscribers only, so PL Plus or PL Pro. So definitely sign up today. I can't express enough how it is the best community on the internet, not just baseball community, but just the best one. We don't curse in there. We don't do DFS, and you know, we don't let that swarm our baseball discussions or sports betting or anything like that. We just treat each other like humans, and we have, what, 1,500 people there? It's so great. You should just be a part of it. So go get PO Plus. It's $5 a month. You also get an ad-free website. Go to pitchers.com/premium. Sign up today. Zach Gallen against the Guardians, 6 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. I mean, I guess we'll take that, right? Like, it's Gallen. And a sub-1 ERA with a poor quality start is not the worst thing ever. 3 strikeouts. I mean, I guess if you're in a standard league, it's just for the whip. All right. He does get the Reds carpet next, and hopefully he can have himself a field day just taking all the photos and doing all the poses on the red carpet. That would be just lovely. Victor Medeiros against the Reds. He did get the Reds carpet, and it was terrible. 5 innings, 300 runs, 9 hits, 3 walks, 3 Ks. He's a sidewinding guy with a lot of horizontal movement on the sinker, of course, but along the same plane is the slider and sweeper, and they don't do enough, and he doesn't really command them well, and it's just kind of weird and strange, and I would not go for it. Now, Yoendris Gomez against Atlanta got the win. 5 innings, 300 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. On the surface, that doesn't seem like anything that I should be reporting to you. But what does Gomez do? And I showcased some intrigue last time, and I really want to reiterate this. It was 94 with 16 inches of vert, but a slightly flat height adjusted VAA, so the attack angle is 1.2. And when you have a flatter attack angle, it means that 16 inches of vert actually should have a little bit more surprising movement up. Right. Generally, when you have a vert, it means you're going to be on the steeper side. And when you don't have that, it generally helps things. OK. And then you have 70 feet of extension with that. So it's kind of like, oh, maybe actually this is a decent four seamer if you can locate it. This game he did against right handers and not really to lefties at all. OK, so that's something to certainly note with him. But then there's the secondaries. The sweeper went 4 for 16 whiffs against right handers. It's a good one. 68% strikes. And then you had a curveball that was 33% strikes to lefties, but it's good movement at 81. That could be a good whiffable breaker in the future. You have also this changeup that he threw a ton of strikes with, but it was very hittable. I mean, it was four hits. They were just like right over the plate to lefties, and you just got to get that down more. But it is fascinating. You know, it's a sinker as well to right-handers that isn't quite as good. And if Gomez is able to do Blake Snell blueprint with the four seamers upstairs and then have this sweeper, this curveball, this changeup, and the rare sinker, like that actually works. But he's unpolished and he's unrefined. So be careful, but he is a deep stream option for your AL-only leagues against the Twins next. That is Yoenis Gomez, and we have Matthew Liberatore. When it gets the Marlins, and you're like, this is a terrible Marlins lineup, you got to be able to do this. It was 5 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. And that is a 120 whip with a 520 ERA and 5 strikeouts without a win. No quality start. And it's just, what are you doing? But then again, Nick, I got to start him. It's the Rays. And then he goes into Cincinnati, and then it's hosting the Athletics. I just don't want to do it. I feel like he's fatigued. I feel like this is all the signs we see of a young guy hitting a wall in the season, and I just don't want to do it. You have Jack Leiter. My gosh, he disappoints me so much. Jack Zippo against the Royals, 3.2 innings with 300 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. His four-seamer is still just the dream four-seamer. He just can't locate it upstairs like he needs to. And then the sliders all over the place. His secondary stuff just doesn't complement said heater. He's a poor execution, awesome stuff, i.e. a peas. Yeah, I can't buy into it. Even if he has like a great start, I just can't buy into it unless it's such beautiful command that maybe I'll be convinced that he made a tweak. I highly doubt that. Nestor Cortez against the Giants, 5.2 innings of 400 runs, 7 hits, 4 walks, and 5 Ks. He got bamboozled in the first inning for all 4 runs off of 3 homers, okay, including 2-run shot. And then he was all right after that. Now, the changeup is a fun addition for Cortez this year, but it can't be a 43% strike rate. And also the cutter can't be 48% strikes, right? I mean, there's your problem. I do think that Cortez is actually moving toward being a very relevant starter. However, the Dodgers are next, so we don't need to go after it there. We can see what the skills are like, and then it's the Twins and Orioles after, and that might be worthwhile. Same kind of thing for Spencer Arrighetti, who, my gosh, he has a four-seamer that should excel at the top of the zone. 7.2 feet of extension and 1.8 height-adjusted VAA. It's like if you take Bailey Ober and mix him with Joe Ryan, right, of that fastball shape, which is so cool. And then he has a wide arsenal. He has this curveball that was his best pitch here and looked great. 70%+ strikes and was doing all the good things. But the four-seamer and sweeper command was just not good. And that led to 5 innings of 500 runs, 7 hits, 4 walks, and 5 Ks for the Pasta Pirate, Spencer Arrighetti. Against the Tigers, I still am in here. I feel like it's going to be a moment when it clicks, and he's only 3 games removed from the IL, right? It takes a moment, and when he does, it's going to be great. So I implore you to consider your options when it comes to Spencer Arrighetti. If you need something right now, I can't tell you it's going to be the next start. However, I do believe we're going to see Spencer Arrighetti very much wake up before the season ends. And then there's Logan Gilbert. Oh boy, 2.0 innings of 600 runs, 9 hits, 0 walks, and 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? He allowed all 6 runs in that second inning and then just got pulled. I mean, he was at 65 pitches. He just can't command. Oh my gosh, he has control, but he does not locate this four-seamer and slider combo well inside the zone. And it's so frustrating. This is the biggest knock I've had on Gilbert across the years, that you just need to get this four-seamer that should be just amazing upstairs and get that breaking ball down. And he can't do it. So it's not like he can't be good even as he is like this, but the Phillies had his number and they were comfortable to play, and that's that. He keeps starting Logan Gilbert. It's just, this is frustrating. This is why he's not a top 5 starter to me, and arguably not even a top 10. Because of these kind of outings where, yeah, you're just not a pristine pitcher. You are more of a thrower who's in the zone than you are like a pitcher navigating at-bats. That is it for today. I hope to see you on the Discord. Seriously, you should be a PL Plus or PL Pro member. You're missing out on so much stuff, and it's the best way to seize your championship down the stretch. It's your cheat code, guys. You should be using it. But that is it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABs be low and your strikeouts high.